And now, Dungeon Guides.
Hello, and welcome again to another episode of Dungeon Guides. You find us a little lost here. This is not normal for us guides. But, you know, the maps we have seem to be not as good as we were hoping they would be for this,
I told you we should have brought a dwarf.
We should have brought a... You always say that every single time we get lost, and I guess right now it's true, but you do always bring it up. I think you just want to bring a dwarf, Josh, is my only concern.
Well, they're renowned for their ability to detect slope and grade.
I guess this is true. I guess this is true, but... maybe join us for a while we try to figure out these maps and why they seem to be wrong as we discuss maps, Josh, if you will.
Yes, I thought a good topic to jump into would be one that I think is something that you encounter in any campaign, whether it's going to be a dungeon or a castle, ancient ruins, a cave system in the Underdark. You're going to run into the occasion to require some mapping be done. Most dungeon crawls probably involve entering some situation where nobody knows what's coming up ahead. There are no blueprints or floor plans for the ancient temple of Picolai. You know, nobody's been there in centuries. There's rumor that it is a wide and vast labyrinthine structure of underground tunnels and hallways. But how do we not get lost in there? What techniques do we need to employ in order to map out a dungeon? How often do you find the groups that you play in are paying attention to these kinds of things? Or maybe you even play in a system where you're not your dungeon master isn't concerned with having you track and find your own locations. There's a whole variety of ways, not only of going about representing the dungeon crawl or exploration in a reference such as a tabletop map or an online tabletop system or even just a picture or a drawing as a reference, is how do you navigate your way through a dungeon crawl?
Exactly there, Josh. And one of the things I think as a first step, and this is one I've heard from another podcast a lot when they've discussed, you know, drawing maps or, you know, those types of more in-depth kind of exploration where you're kind of being more real with it is, and this is WebDM. And I completely agree with them on this, where they talk about, as a DM, if you're having your players draw their own maps in order to kind of figure out the space, don't worry if their maps don't look exactly like yours. If they look similar enough, they'll be fine. Like, as long as the basic ideas get there. They don't need to be exactly like yours, so don't feel like you gotta sit there for hours being like, okay, no. Like, it goes 5 spaces, and then it turns. Like,
and it goes 10 feet, and then it turns to the left. No, but yeah. I thought it went 15 feet and turned to the left. Yeah, because you don't want to get bogged down in those kind of details, because they just need to understand where they are relative to other locations, right?
Exactly. They just need to know kind of, like, the basics, because not many... obviously maps are designed to make sure that you are, you know, doing it right, but like at the same time, unless it's like for real in-depth exploration, like it's gonna be pretty simple. It's gonna be like, hey, it's about 15 feet. Like, you know, we're not gonna measure it out and be like it's 16.1 feet and then you turn right and then that goes down for 11.2 feet, you know.
Right. So a lot of it has to do with what you provide to your players and then what they need to do for their own sake of orienting themselves in the world. You know, you might have a situation where the players aren't announcing that they're keeping a map. Maybe they're not even keeping a map or any kind of notes on things at the table, but they're not even saying that their characters, you know, have pen and paper and occasionally stop to make notations. They might just have in their mind a pretty good sense of where the rooms are and stuff. And whether or not the players themselves are crafting a map, you have to, I think as a dungeon master, you have to consider the fact that the characters in the world have a much greater understanding of, or potentially have a much greater understanding of where they are positioned and oriented in the world than we are. You know, they don't have to abstract. They remember walking through that doorway and then turning to the left. You know, it isn't a thing that needs to be intellectualized. It's a, you know, it's an experiential thing, right? So I think it's important also to step in and assist the characters in helping them to understand, you know, if they are creating a map or if they have a pretty good understanding of where they are, that you allow the things to, like you said, they don't have to have a perfect map in order to orient themselves around the world and stuff. Now, that being said, there might be a situation where you are in some sort of structure where there's a void or something. Maybe there's a room that you haven't found a door to. It's got a hidden door or something like that. Now, if you were keeping an accurate map in game, or you maybe suspected that, hey, I think there might be a room here, but we don't see a door. Is there like a missing space here? Let's go measure the outer hallway that, you know, runs the perimeter of this, and then you know, check to see. You know, like, no, there should be a a room here, or there's a space we can't access. Well, you're gonna have to have created some really detailed maps in the game to be able to work that stuff out. So a lot of it comes down to, you know, how the players and the characters are gonna tackle that record keeping of the map. You know, if we're just simply moving room to room, there's a couple of door options. I mean, you could write that out listed like an old MapQuest directions for those of us who are old enough to remember MapQuest and printing directions out. I think it can create for an interesting experience. That's something me and my friends liked a lot about the dungeon crawl was the whole, like, there's the fog of war. We don't know where we're going. You know, putting yourself back into the days of the old screen by screen RPGs like Bard's Tale and stuff. We're like, you don't know what's, you know, 2 steps down the road. There might be a random encounter. You know, it doesn't have to be as ridiculous as that, but it's fun to, you know, explore and, so like in hitting that as a subtopic, what are some of the most memorable ways, or what strategies do you like to employ as you're, you know, setting out into a dungeon crawl and knowing that you're going to go into explore? What are some tips and tricks that you like to follow while engaging in cartography?
So, just as a point before I get into kind of my own things, I think the best way to go about doing this for your campaigns, DMs, is to try to basically elect people for positions. So I think, you know, this is best described as what people already kind of feel naturally in the space, where you have the face, you have, you know, the person who's very good at knowledge checks, you have the person who's very good at surviving and wisdom checks, you got the fighter who's very tanky, stuff like that. These people will naturally fill those positions, you know, in game. You then have positions that aren't necessarily as naturally filled, but like some of them a little bit more than others. So like the inventory person, you have that person who is kind of the pack mule. They carry everything. They have the bag of holding, whatever.
The quartermaster.
Yeah. That type of thing. Then you have like the person who, you know, makes sure that the people have enough food, either because they're the ones cooking it or they're the ones hunting it, stuff like that. And then, to kind of get back onto topic, you have the mapper, the person who either has all the maps and is able to calculate their position with cartography, or the person who's drawing the maps when they're in the dungeon. And I would go ahead and just kind of say, hey guys, this is an area that's going to need a mapper. Who wants to be that? Who wants to do that in their own kind of notes and stuff? Like, I'll give you guys a second to figure that out. And then just give him a little bit of time to, like, elect someone, you know, who wants to do it. Most of the time you're going to have someone who steps up, you know. And if it ends up being a thing where it's like, okay, well, nobody's stepping up, then as a DM you can just be like, okay, Johnny, go ahead and be the mapper. You know, it doesn't have to be good, just good enough for people to understand, you know. So, getting on to my tips and tricks, Zach's Maps Emporium, if you will. Some pretty easy tips are just to literally draw how you're understanding it. I mean, with the Dungeon Master's like, yeah, it's goes a little to about 10 feet out, and then you see a turn to the left and a turn to the right. Just draw it, you know, just draw exactly that. And then I always try to start, like, obviously from the entrance, but start from the entrance. And then if you're in a dungeon, this is just dungeon tips in general, I feel like more like it, but I try to go, like, either left or right and try to stick to it, you know? That's very much, though, the gamer in me who's like,
yeah,
straight is always the option that's going to make sure that we get to the actual end of the dungeon. Therefore, we don't go that way because we wanna do all the side questing first.
Oh, sure, yeah. Yeah, and even still, like, even if you didn't know that was the case, they going straight through and you need to find the way, I've always seen it as like trying to find the edges of the map, you know, and define the boundaries, and then you can start working by process of elimination. But primarily it is like you're talking about, we're looking to full clear here, boys. You know, we hear tell there's a mighty huge pile of loot down here that's been stowed by some from robbers from years ago, so we must find that out.
Exactly.
And nice, that's and methodical. Thing
also, is that depending on the size of the dungeon, I think it really gets a little either easier or harder to explore it.
Yeah.
And that's when maps kind of come in handy if it's a large dungeon, is that if it's something that's like not intuitive to where, okay, yeah, we'll just go straight and then we turn and make a left and then a right and then we're at the end of the dungeon. It's super easy. A map is going to help you kind of space things out. And then, as you know, Josh, you alluded to earlier, it might help you find like that secret little passage. Like, hey, there's just like there should be a path here. It feels like maybe it's covered up. And then this is where my second favorite thing to bring into a dungeon comes in, which is, mining tools, pickaxes, crowbars, stuff like that. Where it's like, you just take those things into a dungeon, and then you just do a little bit of minor excavating, you know? It's like,
oh, yeah. You never know when there's going to be a stuck door, or some, you know, fallen debris or rubble, a cave-in, something exactly. That, you know, if, you know, it doesn't, none of your class abilities, or you don't have any spells that are going to help you out here, but going back, you know, referring to a previous episode, sometimes it's just the mundane items that you brought with you that you thought about, you know? They're like, oh, exactly. Do you happen to have a pickaxe? You might be able to get through this rubble pile. In fact, I've got two of them, you know? Exactly. Okay. Well, the fighter and the barbarian start pounding away.
The fighter dual wields both pickaxes and just starts going to town, you know? No, yeah, exactly. It's that thing where I think the more real you treat the world and therefore allow for a little more thought process to be put into things, the better dungeon experience you're going to have with mapping, with exploring these dungeons, stuff like that. Because, like, it's just, there's a lot to gain from just having an understanding of where you are in the dungeon. Especially
right, you know, and it's helping you, and it's kind of helping you gain control of a very uncertain and kind of anxious situation that, you know, we know that, like, it through any door is the next encounter, right? There's a bit of suspense in that we're kind of walking through the dark, you know, through the shadows of even the theater of the mind in this sense, because we're talking about going through a dungeon crawl without a shared map that's being revealed in front of us that you can constantly look at, right? And So that kind of leads into that there can be some complications with it, because if you are requiring your players to keep their own orientation and maps within a dungeon, you have to be, as a dungeon master, very careful about how you describe them moving through the dungeons and stuff, right? So, and, you know, for one, you have to take into account, well, do they have any ability to discern where north is at all? Do they have a compass or magics or a dwarf, or, you know, bring a dwarf? Or, you know, there are various kits and backgrounds and stuff and situations that can help you determine which way north is, right? Because if you don't know where north is and you're underground, that's going to get confusing really quick. And you almost, as a dungeon master, can kind of just say, you enter a room, it's about 20 by 20, there's a door in the west, there's a door in the north. Like, it's just Zork style. Or there's a door opposite, there's a door to your left. You know, and of course you've got, as a dungeon master, your own map, so you know which way they're orienting. And, you know, you don't have to worry about as much, you know, what you have to worry about is what their perspective is, and to the left or the right, ahead of them, where the doors are, and then it's up to them, you know, to sort out where they've gone through. But that can get frustrating really quick. So you have to make sure that you give good descriptions and you try to aid them as much as possible, because you shouldn't fault the characters so much for the players not being able to conceptualize or keep track of these kinds of things. There was a start of a campaign with my nephew and a couple of his friends, a couple of our friends, that we started out like that. I had them mapping their own way, you know, because they hadn't done it before. Usually we're just, you know, like, have a map and we're drawing it out ahead of time on a big Mondo map mat or something. And there was a couple times where the door was supposed to be on the left, not straight ahead, you know, that, and that was my mistake. But then there are plenty of other times where just by simple errors, or they're paying attention to something else and didn't write down that there was a turn or something like that, their map got all confused, and pretty quickly they were like, I have no idea where we are, you know, or how to get back there and stuff, right? You know, so, and I think at that point, you know, I could understand that they hadn't got a lot of practice in doing that, so then I just went ahead, and from that point on I just built a map out on the table for everyone to see. But I find it interesting to consider the different ways of representing a map in exploration, because, you know, we've been talking about player kept maps and where it's all just story driven versus having a map that you're drawing out ahead of time, or as you're revealing it. You know, I'm just, oh, here's the hallway, I just drew it on the grid, you know, and then there's a doorway, and then filling it out like that, because that is much simpler for sure, you know, and less description is required. So, you know, it really comes down to a sense of flavor for each table. How immersive or how abstracted are we going to get with orienting ourselves in the world, you know?
Exactly. And I think, you know, I find more immersive is normally the best way to go. Maybe, you know, that's not necessarily a have to for every table, but I feel like the more immersive you get, the more you're going to bring your players into the world. You know what I mean?
Right. They're going to feel every corner and every door and every bump in the hallway, right? Because it's the only thing they've got is what you've told them is there.
Exactly. And so, and then I think that brings it into another thing that I think maybe some DMs want to do, but like, just they don't find that they should, or they think it'd be too confusing. But when you're having a player map out something, especially if that's their one job to do, is to map out stuff, is the labyrinth, moving labyrinth dungeon. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Where you have these walls moving and stuff like that, and it's like, if you have someone mapping it out, it becomes way more obvious, way more quickly, and also becomes more of a detriment. Like holy shit. Okay, wait. You're saying, okay, we backed up on ourselves, and now you're saying it's a T-section? That used to be a one-way. Why is it changing? It's obviously changing. And then it becomes a thing of, like, how do you guys deal with this? Like, can you figure out the labyrinth's movements? Or is it too random to even do that? Like, what are you guys going to do?
Right, because your map helped you prove that the labyrinth is changing. Mm-hmm. But that also proves that your map is now unreliable.
Right, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
How much time do you spend updating the map? Right, you know, it's like, are you going to observe the guard patrol patterns long enough to figure out, is there a shift? Are you going to be like that guy who recorded Press Your Luck and memorized the patterns so he could, he could win the game? We figured exactly. It out. We've been here for 8 years. So we finally, mapped it all out. And, you know, if they would have just wandered around eventually, because if it is a true labyrinth, you will just reach the end of it, right?
Exactly.
As opposed to a maze, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I think mapping in general is definitely... I think nowadays it's not seen as the very, like, fun thing.
Yeah.
And I can understand why. You know, it's they just want to know where they are, and they want to know how to get from one area to the next. That is all anybody at your tables are looking for most of the time.
Sure, yeah.
But I think... the funness that can come out of a map is by having your players use it for more than just how to get around. Like, making sure the map will say something about the dungeon. Like,
right.
Hey, like, and obviously, I think if you're using this as a thing of, like, every single dungeon that you're having the map out, That's one thing. If you're using the map as a system of, like, every once in a while, so that way then when you're creating the dungeon, you can take into account, okay, I'm going to be having them make a map of this, so let's put something in here for when they're making a map and they see something, you know, like the secret door,
right?
Like the secret entrance. Maybe it's, how this dungeon is positioned. Like, what we're under, like, it seems weird. Like, it shouldn't be this large or something like that. Or, you know, it seems like it's super small. So maybe there's more to this dungeon we're just not seeing.
Right. And like with the previously, you know, oh, we think there's a void here. Or maybe there's a room or something like that. There could be a pattern that the dungeon layout itself has a pattern. And in all the other three corners, there is a room here. But in this top left corner... we don't have any doors there, but, you know, like much of the dungeon is symmetrical or this or that, or, you know, we've noticed that the load bearing areas aren't, you know, in these outer corridors and stuff like that. They're like, you know, why would they just make this weird, you know, three-sided rectangle, you know? Like, they've got the pattern everywhere else, you know? Or like you said, maybe there's some geological features or something else above ground or below that it's taking advantage of some magical resonance or something, right? Like, it's a crazy magical Bose speaker that's, like, focusing energies, you know, towards the center where the strange statue is, you know?
Don't touch the statue, boys and girls.
Never touch the statue.
And other people. Just never touch the statue. Well, I think I finally figured out this map. I think we can go ahead and start moving again here, Josh. So thank you all for joining us on our discussion about maps and how to use them and make them more fun for players and how to get your players to start using them. We hope you had a... I was trying to come up with a pun for maps, but I just couldn't do it in time. So I'm just going to say have a very wonderful day and a good week, and we'll see you next week.
Later.
Later. I think we go for I'm the map, 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 I'm the map.
What is even that? Is that like a Baby Shark thing or something?
No, that's Dora the Explorer, my man.
Oh. I'm a map. I'm a map.
Is it Napsters? Isn't there a thing called Napsters?
Yeah, Napster is MP3 sharing.
Oh, okay, never mind then. That's not what we're looking for. How about,
Cartography mapping? Encompasses?
Oh, how about mapping for idiots?
Oh, Mapping for Dummies?
Yeah, Mapping for Dummies.
Dungeon Mapping for Dungeon for Dummies.
Yeah, Dungeon Mapping for Dummies. I like it.
Yeah, we'll do that. Okay, I'm hitting stop now.